The first National Vice Chairman of the NPP, Freddie Blay, has dismissed claims that the last emergency steering committee meeting of the party without the National Chairman and General Secretary was a coup. He told Radio Ghana that the meeting was convened within the stipulations of the party's constitution. He spoke with George Ankara.
Why can we do a coup d'etat against the Azaras? Why should that be? That speculation is strange. For example, we've said that all what we decided on is that the vetting that is going on earlier on, the steering committee has not in fact been abreast. They've not been privy to it. They've not been briefed of what was happening. And then the steering committee, which is a committee of the National Executive Committee, should be in charge of what is happening. And since we are not aware of what is happening, we decided that members of that steering committee should go to the various regions and come and report directly to the steering committee about what is happening. That's exactly what we did.
So, per the party's constitution, Mr. Freddie Blay, the steering committee can meet and take certain decisions with or without the presence of the chairman and the general secretary.
Absolutely, there is nothing wrong with that. If the meeting has a quorum, if it's properly constituted, has a quorum, every decision that the steering committee makes and is carried out by majority, it's valid. And that's exactly what we did. It should be appropriate if any of them, indeed it should be ideal if all members will have the full strength of the steering committee to be there to take a decision. But in a case where it's not possible for them to be there, or for one reason or the other, they find themselves not being there, the steering committee is constitutionally mandated to meet and take decisions.
Mr. Blair rejected claims that the meeting was called in bad faith.
What do they mean by acted in bad faith? Maybe they don't understand what they are talking about. Those who you say are saying so. I've not heard anybody saying I've acted in bad faith. But let me explain and take you through what we've done. One, a week before, that is last week, we were contemplating having an emergency meeting. Indeed, 7 members out of the 13 membership of the steering committee put a petition up to the chairman requesting for an emergency meeting to discuss some items that we had enlisted. The letter went copied to all personalities in the steering committee. Now, instead of the meeting coming on, the chairman, for one reason or the other, I cannot explain, but maybe for good reason, did travel outside the country. When the chairman is out of the country, the vice chair acts. And for that reason, I called for an emergency meeting. Before I called for an emergency meeting, I sent a letter to the general secretary asking him, indeed directing him, that he should give notice to all members of the steering committee to attend an emergency meeting to discuss a few items that we had listed.
So, Mr. Blay, why would the general secretary be on one of our sister radio stations saying that he did not receive any letter from you and that he was not aware of the convening of the meeting?
I have not heard him say so. But I can assure you that we sent him. I sent him a WhatsApp. He replied to the WhatsApp that he is holding the funeral rites of his mother-in-law, and for that matter, he cannot be present. As to what he's telling others and so forth, I've not heard it. But that is what I've said, and I'm not the only individual who spoke to him on the matter. I can assure you that some other members of the steering committee had some discussion with him over the issue. Be it as it may, the steering committee met with 9 members. That we need only 7 members to constitute a quorum, and there is no special place for any individual. All members are entitled to be invited to attend the meeting. 9 made their way to the meeting, and then we had a fruitful discussion, and therefore we came out with some statement or the other based on what some people may speculate and try to give an impression that there was some coup or there was some matter or there was some conduct that was untoward. Everything was legitimate, constitutional, and appropriate.
Mr. Blake gave the rationale for the emergency meeting.
Definitely, a constitution of a party will make allowance for emergency meeting. Whatever it's emergency or if it's not emergency, in our constitution, if the chairman is not around, the first vice acts and can do all the things that the chairman can do. Indeed, if the first vice is not there, the chairman is not there, the second vice, and also the third vice, depending on who is absent and who is present. So the party constitution is clear on that. So the first vice can't act in the absence of the chairman, the substantive chairman. And that's exactly what I have been doing.
By way of education, what were some of the candid decisions that you took which you want your people to understand?
Well, some of the decisions we've already put them together by way of minutes, and we will circulate it among the membership. But more importantly, there is an ongoing vet of candidates who are putting themselves up for election. We came out to tell the various regions that we've steering committee has taken over the conduct of the vet and that each region will have at least one member from the steering committee joining other members that the General Secretary had already sent around to supervise, to augment it and take charge of it and report directly to the steering committee. That's what we put up, and I've asked that certain things must be assured that, for example, those who put themselves up are men of integrity, they pay their members, they have communication skills, they believe in the ideals and aims of the party, and a whole lot of others. We put them on paper and send around. So those who we send to the regions will discuss with regional executives and insist that those things must be adhered to. That's what has come out with.
You have the first national vice chairman of the NPP, Freddie Blay.
The new Patriotic Party has deployed 9 national officers to the regions to oversee the vetting of its parliamentary aspirants. This was among many other decisions taken at an emergency steering committee meeting at the party's headquarters in the absence of both the national chairman, Paul Afoku, and General Secretary Kwabena Japong. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the director of elections of the NPP, Martin Ejimeh Akosa, said the vetting process has so far been smooth. And I understand we have Martin Ejimeh Akosa. Well, we have Kingsley Nanabwedu, Central Regional Correspondent, on the line to tell us what exactly is happening with regards to the vetting. Good afternoon to you, Kingsley.
Good afternoon, Abraham.
Well, the process has begun for some time now. How smooth is it?
Well, I must tell you that it's been quite smooth here in the Central Region. For Central Region, the vetting is taking place at 3 places, at the Cape Coast here, Abuna, Suedro, and we have Asin Fosu, so it's been divided. There are 23 constituencies here, and I am told about 6 to 7 people are going to be vetted in all these 3 centers. As I speak with you now, I am just at the party headquarters in Cape Coast, where about 4 constituencies have been vetted already, and there are 2, 3 people who are contesting in most of the cases, except for a few areas that there have been about 5 or more. But indications are that Ekunsi, for instance, there were nobody who picked the form, and we are told that a form has been sent to one a contestant, somebody who they wanted him to stand, but the person refused. And indications are that that person may be coming, and that is maybe different issue here that we are talking about. But for now, everything is going on smoothly, and there are people converge here, and it's going on currently.
Well, Kingsley, having said that, when the candidates went after the process, did you get the opportunity of talking to them? And if you did, what was their demeanor, and what are some of the expectations they shared with you?
Well, I have spoken with a few of them that have just gone through the process and have come out, and they are quite sure and optimistic that, yes, they are going through. I spoke with one Mr. Abraham Juma Odum. I spoke with one AEC and most of the people that have gone through, and look quite okay, and they think that they will be going through. But speaking to some of the people around, to indicate that most of them will be going. All of them may be going, especially those that have been vetted, because they are just 2, 3, 2, 3, and a few cases where they will be 5. But those that have been vetted, they are mostly 2, 3, and they are of the view that definitely all of them will stay through. So definitely everything is going on here, and they are sure that things will be all right with them.
Well, Kingsley, I want to thank you very much for joining us from Cape Coast, where the NPP's vetting of...
A member of the NDC legal team, David Annan, says he would not be surprised if any member of the NPP takes the executive committee of the party to court for breach of the NPP constitution.
I disagree with Mr. Freddie Blay. He's also a lawyer, and I think he should have known better. First of all, as vice chairman, he's not the substantive chairman. Now, they are relying on Article 9, I believe, Article 9.2 of their constitution, which allows the steering committee to act on behalf of the party in urgent matters. You see, they know that it is the National Executive Committee of the party which should have taken that decision, which should have been the meeting at which very important decisions like this were taken. Now, let me tell you some of the decisions that were taken. First of all, they agreed that the various vetting committees and the vetting centers for the party's parliamentary primaries would be decided. They decided also on the national officers who would be assigned to supervise the overall conduct of the vetting and other such matters.
Is there anything wrong with that?
Yes, first of all, it is the National Executive Committee which should take such a decision. It is only when it is deemed to be of an urgent nature that the steering committee, which is a smaller group of the National Executive Committee, will then take decisions like that. So first of all, the forum was wrong. The forum should not have been the steering committee. It should have been the National Executive Committee. The second thing is that the person calling the meeting to was the wrong person. It shouldn't have been Mr. Freddie Blay. It should have been the present and constitutional duly elected chairman of the MPP, who was not incapacitated, who was not mentally unable to perform the functions of his office. It was simply because they waited until Mr. Paul Afoko was not in the country. They waited until the party general secretary, who is Mr. Kwabena Japong, was attending a funeral in the Ashanti region, and then they waited until other persons like Mr. Sammy Crabb and co. were absent before they went ahead to have this meeting. Now, let me also state that we have information that some of them in the MPP have approached General Buhari in order to hunt down ministers and government officials in President Goodluck Jonathan's administration who had close relations to the current President John Mahama administration. This plan is supposed to whip up sentiments against the NDC administration. Now, Mr. Afoku, I am reliably informed, has opposed this plan, that it is not going to boost the MPP's electoral fortunes. Now, this is part of the reasons why Mr. Freddie Blay and Mr. Paul Afoko seem to have a problem, to the point where in Germany, Mr. Afoko walked Mr. Blay out of a confidential meeting that was being held between the MPP and a German opposition political party. Now, in order to, you know, achieve this agenda, quite apart from this Nigeria issue, the whole design is to make sure that candidates or parliamentary aspirants who are favorable to the Nana Akufo-Addo faction are duly selected.
You heard a member of the NDC legal team, David Anand, speaking on the NPP steering committee's meeting.
Commenting on the issue, a political scientist, Dr. Lili Seydou, said the development has a tendency to divide the front of the party. According to him, if the party does not close its ranks and unite, winning the 2016 elections will be a mirage.
There has been this perception that the rank and file of the opposition New Patriotic Party is divided, but they have not accepted it in good faith that there is something like that. If you look at what happened yesterday, it exposes the lack of cohesion and unity in the opposition MPP. Fine, the national chairman was out of the country, and then the general secretary was out of Greater Accra region. But I presume it's fine. The constitution says that the first vice chairperson has the constitutional power to convene such a meeting in an emergency case, which he did. But there is also the perception that the national organizer will call for that emergency meeting because, according to him, such meetings is supposed to occur once every week, and it has not happened for the past 3 months. And there is an impending constituency, a parliamentary level election, primary, so they needed to discuss something of that sort. But according to the sources too, this particular meeting, there was a meeting which was scheduled on Thursday, just this Thursday, knowing very well that the national chairman was coming down to Ghana today. So even if such a meeting has never been held for the past 3 months, what's the difference between waiting for the national chairman to come and you have the meeting on Thursday and calling an emergency meeting yesterday? According to sources too, when one of your sister stations interviewed Freddie Blay, and he said that they sent an SMS message inviting the general secretary to that particular meeting. Under normal circumstances, a powerful individual like the general secretary should not be invited using an SMS. Maybe if that had been the process, that is fine. But to sum everything all, what happened yesterday just showed that the Alliance to Maintain an Akufo-Addo faction in the MPP are still struggling for control. And what happened, some people believe, is tantamount to a palace coup d'etat. People have questioned the power of the Paul Afoko-led national executives to govern and govern well in such a manner that it will favor the electoral fortunes of Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo after 2016 and beyond. And people have always mentioned that there is something called Agenda 2020 in the MPP, and people have been denying it. But what happened yesterday just shows that the rank and file of the MPP leadership are still not united. And that has a lot of implication going 2016. So the MPP has to close its rank, be united, and bring that element of unity and cohesion and present itself as a credible alternative to the NDC. Other than that, they are going to lose 2016.